Lord, we ask for your presence to take absolute control. We ask that Jesus will be revealed. We ask that we'll leave this place empowered and confident more than we came. Let lives be touched. Let purpose be unveiled. Lord, I ask that your angels will minister to your people as I speak. Lord, I ask that you will anoint your word. Lord, I ask that you anoint me. Lord, I ask that you anoint your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we bless God. So let's get back into this conversation we've been having. It's getting interesting and very interesting for me because as last week rolled out, I noticed that there is so much for us. I don't know, did I post the recording? I thought I shared something on the platform. I didn't post, or the network was bad. This last week, the network was bad. Okay, so good. I'll post the recording from last week. It will be good for you to listen to that recording again and again. And let's do some recap. What are we talking about? We are talking about equipped for the work of ministry. And what are we talking about? We are saying that God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors for the purpose of equipping you and I. Now, when an evangelist, prophet down, all of them, the fivefold ministry ministers to us, we are supposed to all arrive at the grace that is found in each and every one of them. That is to say that we are supposed to begin to think like a prophet, analyze things like a prophet, assess life from a prophetic perspective. When an apostolic grace touches our lives, as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the verses 19 and 20, it says that you are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Ha. And if we want to extrapolate out of that and extend and apply to other ministries, you are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, who mean so many things. I wish I can just find my notes right away. But foundation in the Greek is temelios, like team, melios. Foundation speaks of a substructure. Foundation gives definition to a building. The height of a building will be determined by what kind of foundation you put in there. If the foundation be destroyed, the Bible says in the book of Psalm, it says, what can the righteous do? So if apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers get it wrong, we are in serious trouble. Because the ministration of the Spirit that we are supposed to receive will not be commensurate. In fact, will not be in fullness, will be partial, will not be according to the fullness of Christ, but will be according to some dimension of a man, some tradition of a man, some tradition of a country or a society. So it becomes important that apostles and prophets, evangelists down the road, everybody gets it right and live in the very precincts of the grace and the powerful dynamics of Christ. So that from that place, the ministration of grace is released to God's people. The word temelios means a substructure. Means, by extrapolation, means an undergirding principle. An undergirding principle. It means the basis of life. It means the basic principle by which life is defined. Built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. And when you read on, it said, and Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. This is how life is structured. And when we talk about the foundation of the call, we'll come back into that. When we talk about foundation, again, we are referring to principles, mannerisms of the Spirit. What is called in the Greek, or is it in the Greek or Hebrew? One of them. Somebody say, let my he be she and my she be he. He doesn't know who is he, who is a she. But the word hodos, it speaks of spiritual pathways. When you look, sometimes I have a recording, if I've not lost it, I have a recording that one of my friends prayed. Yes, I have, we have the CD. One of my friends prayed in one of our conferences. If you listen to the prayer, you can hear spiritual pathways in the prayer. It's like you are being educated, you are being elevated, you are being taken, you are being placed. When we look into the life of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, there is a spiritual pathway. We are built upon the principles that makes who a prophet, evangelist, pastor, apostle is. The pathways in their life that allows them to have access to God and have access and impact in life the way that they have. That is why, for me, I keep saying that the manner in which people operate this gift, if we are not careful, one day when Jesus appears, there will be a problem. Because it has become self other than touching the mind of Christ and releasing it to the people. It's my gift. I can do anything. Built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets is like this. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, what do you want to smell? What do you want to hear? When you enter a Chinese restaurant, if you've been to Imperial Pekins before, when you enter, or any Chinese restaurant outside the world, outside Ghana, you hear soothing music. Soothing. Chinese, I don't know, they like jazz. You find some deep soothing jazz in there. And you'll be smelling what? Mention some of the things you can smell in Chinese restaurant. Fried rice. You smell some spices, some nice fragrance. But imagine you go to Chinese restaurant and all you are hearing is tim, tim, tim. And you hear the man doing tim, tim, tim. Something is wrong. Something does not belong in this place. Something about the foundation of this restaurant is not correct. So Paul says that as the chief architect, architecton, as the apostle of God, who is the chief masterminder, who have access to the design of God and wisdom to replicate the design in the earth, I have laid a foundation and no other foundation can anyone lay. This business about church is a serious matter. And he said that everyone builds on this foundation, but be careful what you build on it. Because the foundation that I've laid, no other foundation can be laid other than this. And that foundation is Christ. That foundation is Jesus Christ. So we've been talking about equipped for the work of ministry. And we said apostles, prophets, evangelists have their place. And you and I have our place. We are supposed to be equipped to walk in fullness of Christ. Now, in this, each and every one of us have a unique call, a unique purpose, and you have a leadership gift, and you have a talent. By that leadership gift and talent, you are able to influence the course of life and influence people. You have a leadership gift, and don't take it for granted. Nobody was born into this life blank as a baby, confused and frustrated. We all came into this life well packaged, and we are not missing it. So last week we said that everyone have a call, and my purpose for teaching this, our goal is that each and everyone will discover his call and to live his life with confidence, live his life with dignity and in style, unapologetically to anybody for filling your call. Everyone. We have to find that call, and that people will step into grace to be accurately to be able to apply themselves. We said that people can effectively be deployed, and I said something like you can be fired from your job, but you cannot be fired from yourself. That is why giving yourself the development that required is the best. Yeah, develop yourself, develop your gift, perfect your skill. And when they fire you, you carry yourself, your experience, and your skill away. Because nobody can fire you from you. And I said something also like this. And I think I posted something also within the week. That you, yourself, in your skin, is your best company. That's the best company you can ever have. There's no any other company other than this. You, in your skin, you are the best company. And we define the call. We did define the call. And we talk about one of the myths about the call. I'm not repeating it. But today, let me touch on one more myth about the call. One of the myths that we find about people's unique calling is one day, just one day, this call will fulfill. So I fold my hands and do nothing. The call will fulfill itself. Now, remember the title of my message, or what I'm teaching, is equipped for the work of ministry. And the subtitle is an antidote to the post-charismatic depression. Pastor, what are you talking about? After all great move, after all spirits, after all tongues, after all powerful, people are still unfulfilled. People are still empty here. So we have had Holy Ghost encounters unfulfilled. COVID was a big exposer. It exposed the very fake existence that we have embraced. Inside COVID, those who were ready discovered themselves and began to live powerfully. Inside COVID, many people fell apart. We couldn't re-engineer ourselves. Meanwhile, I've read a scripture, and anytime I think about this scripture, it blows my mind. It says that, listen, for you have an anointing on the inside, therefore nobody needs to teach you anything. Hey, what a scripture. The same scripture again says, for you have an anointing, the same chapter 2 of 1 John, the verses 20 and I think 25. Then the other verse also says that, for you have an anointing on the inside by which you know all things. And I'm like, what? This is the resource that we have. Believers, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. We have something deep, but we are still depressed, unfulfilled, confused. Some wants to commit suicide. Some, out of frustration, have stopped attending church services. And some are blaming it on pastors and prophets. Do you know what prophets have done to me? Do you know prophets, what they've done to me? I told my wife the other day, I said, there's one prophet, the day he shouts on Facebook or whatever, me too, I start shouting. So they say they will not allow me to know the prophet. Because if I know the prophet, I'll have questions for him. Do you know what prophets have done to me? How they've even destroyed church? But I still believe in prophets. And I'm myself, I still operate in the prophetic. Sometimes I say, the way some of us have operated in the prophetic, we've not spoiled anybody's marriage. Why are these people spoiling people's marriages? That some prophets can open their mouth and want to even spoil your own marriage. I mean, people literally have handed their lives and their marriage into our hands. And just one single word we could have spoken that would... Somebody will ask you after 15 years, 13 years of marriage, big bro, would this marriage work? It's just one word. Somebody will ask you, big bro, tell me, I know, tell me, is your my husband? I said, oh, I don't know anything. Does he have a girlfriend? I said, no. I said, you, do you know you have a girlfriend? He said, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. He said, me too, I don't know. I said, you know something? We have to pray. And then I changed the conversation. And the person tells me, he says that, listen, it's because of you I'm still in my marriage. As if I'm the one who is married to her. Listen, people are depressed. People are frustrated. People are confused. People have no hope. They are hanging on a very thin thread. One day, my life will just turn. There is no clarity of purpose, clarity of understanding of identity. Foundations are broken. And this is the very thing. Many have shrouded themselves into makatadia. So they've shrouded themselves in a lot of secrets deep down. You know, I do a lot of teachings online. And during COVID, I did a lot of teachings into even 2022. It was some part of 2023 we stopped. Because now life seems to have bounced, but people are gone, they are busy, they are no longer even thinking about. When the Wahala Day, they were just attending the meetings online, Zoom, they will be there. So, why have you not started the meeting? Me, I'm caught in traffic. The meeting should, I have to be connecting online from my, on the road, and making sure, sometimes ask him, I'll be teaching online by parking in the middle of the road. But after life is gone, everybody's gone. So we stopped. And one leader from one of the big churches in town told me something. He would attend sometimes. Then he told me, said, around the time you organize, that's the time I go to bed. So I would listen. And he said, I have listened to you over and over and over and again. He said, the things that you are teaching are the things that we need. However, our churches are not teaching. And the day trouble comes, our people will collapse. Because it has become butter, my bread, sugar, my cocoa Christianity. It has become a Christianity that is built on thin air. Air that is already thin. No foundation. And we are just hoping one day without any strategic assistance. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Without any strategic effort. I put it this way. Sometimes the power of an answered prayer lies in that strategic action that is taken. While you think one day it will happen, God is actually waiting for you to act for full-blown power to be released. So that is one of the myths that have engulfed charismatic Christianity. Carry, carry. One day the wind will carry us somewhere, and the wind is carrying. We believe in the wind carrying, but we don't believe in deep thinking, engagement of processes that will lead to an end. We banish everything to spirit. Without asking the hard questions, deep questions. Why am I here? Why is my life this way? What is it that I can do to change this existence? We don't ask those questions. That's one of the myths. So now I'm continuing and dealing with. So last week we talked about, so what we are discussing and the very things that we are talking about and the many things that we'll be discussing in the future, plus all men of God who will be visiting us, it is to cure us from this post-charismatic depression and lead us into purpose. So last week we said that there's a foundation for the call. And that is one of a very clear understanding and expression of your identity. I posted something on the platform yesterday. I wish I can just read it to you. Because I may not dwell so much on some of the things that we spoke about last week. But just listen to this. Listen to this. Let me just go back to our platform. Let me read this. And it's about focus. Focus. The importance of focus in achieving success and maintaining productivity cannot be overstated. It acts as a steering wheel of the mind, directing our mental resources towards the task and goals that matter most. Focus. In a world of brimming with distractions and constant demands for our attention, the ability to focus becomes a crucial skill for navigating complexities and achieving desired outcomes. A sharpened focus enhances the quality of work, allows for deeper engagement with tasks, and facilitates creative problem solving by enabling one to connect disparate, you know, disparate, broken, disintegrated ideas, all scattered. But a sharpened focus allows that disparate ideas to come into one. Furthermore, focus is instrumental in managing time efficiently, reducing stress, and achieving a sense of fulfillment and purpose. By cultivating focus, individuals can harness their full potential, turning aspirations into tangible achievements and transforming challenges into opportunities for growth. Focus. We talked about this last week, that a very clear identity allows us in that foundation to become a focused people. Now, there was one foundation I didn't talk on, so I'll jump that again today. Next week, when I start talking about foundation, I'll talk about that. But then we started talking and asking the question, why should I discover my call? Why should you? Any importance, any reason? Your daughter's name, I keep forgetting, eh? Michelle. Michelle, why should I know my purpose? Why should I know my call? My unique call, my unique gift, why? We said that it allows you to maintain the right focus. And that is what I just read. And there's a scripture in the book of Kings. I just want to drop that with you, because I'm not going back into all of this. There's a scripture in the book of Kings. And then there's a scripture in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, the verse 9. And then 1 Kings chapter 20, the verses 39 and 40. 1 Kings chapter 20, the verses 39 and 40. And then Jonah chapter 2, the verse 9. What does Jonah chapter 2 say? I quoted it last week. It says that they that look at worthless idols. Other translation says lying vanities. Forfeit their own grace. When you discover your purpose, why you are here, you become focused on you and focus on the one who has given you the gift. Relate to him and apply that focus correctly, so that gift can now become a beneficial tool to serving people and serving humanity and releasing the purpose of God and expanding the kingdom. The Bible said, they that look at lying vanities, distractions, forfeit themselves. They forfeit their own grace. A version says, they that look like worthless idols forfeit their own calling. It's a very serious matter. Meaning, if I do not discover my calling, my gifting, my talent, my abilities, whom am I? I'm simply an idol worshiper. Because an idol is a false representation of God. An idol is a false truth position. An idol is indeed an idol, physical idol. An idol is that which occupies me chiefly other than my purpose that I'm supposed to walk in. I am an idol worshiper. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 20, let me just read that and make a comment. There was a situation, there was some people who were supposed to keep charge of a prisoner of war, some prisoners of war. The verses 39 and 40. Now, as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and he said, your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and there a man came over and brought a man to me and said, guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be. Listen to the context carefully. If by any means he's missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver. 40. While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. While your servant was busy here and there, the man long gone. When focus is totally distracted, the man is long gone. Purpose is lost. Gifts is abandoned. And we are unable. That is why I've come back so strong into this conversation, to tell you that, listen, you must discover the purpose of God for your life. You must discover your call. And this conversation is geared towards where I'll share principles. How do I discover my call? For some of us here, we've discovered your call. And for some of us, maybe we may discover another layer of the call. We may discover certain phases of the call. When your men were busy here and there, the man was gone. Then the king of Israel said to him, "So shall your judgment be. Yourself have decided it." Did you hear that? Sorry. He says, so you have decided your judgment already. You have decided what will happen to you already. Because you said that life for life, or you pay a talent of silver. So when we lose our calling by chasing after worthless things, that does not matter. It's a dangerous existence. I call it living dangerously. Many today in charismatism, spirit, everything is spirit. They can see demon when they open Bible right now. They'll see demon in it. Everything is they can wire demon, and I don't know how they do it. These prophets, I maybe have to go to the school of the prophets. Because how do they do it? As they open the Bible, they see demon, then there's money tied to it. How do they do it? I don't know that revelation. I know the revelation of Christ, that when you teach a man and a man come to the stature of the fullness of Christ, is free. He's indeed free. He's loosened from his bonds. We must be men and women who would have discovered our purposes and our calling in the earth. Because focus, a sharpened focus, brings all disparate collection of ideas into one. A sharpened focus allows for productivity. A sharpened focus allows for time not to be wasted. Who is wasting your time? What is wasting your time? Think about it. I'm not jumping around because I want this thing to sink deep. What is wasting your time? What are the time wasters in your life? And some of the time wasters is this thing is a big distraction. The other day I was praying, then I took my phone. Then I put the phone down, then I took it again, then I put it down. And then, no, I wasn't praying at the time. Usually when I wake up, for 1 hour, I can just sit down and be meditating, and I want to see in the spirit, I want to hear. I'm releasing all my senses to pick things. And sometimes before I realize I'm in a place and I could hear sounds of birds and echoes and all kinds of things. So in the process, I got distracted, then I picked my phone. Then I drop it, then the Lord said to me, the angel that is with you does not like it. Does not like that. Does not like what that. The angel to minister to you does not like what you are doing. You are not focusing. You are distracted. You are careful for many things. Oh, Martha. You know the story. He said it's cumbed. When you read the old King James, it says that you are burdened with many things. Focus is good. What is distracting you? Have you found your call? I said, go back and pray. God, what is your calling upon my life? Maybe he has called you as an engineer. We said last week that myth that it's only pastors that are called, we bested it, we've blown it, we've put dynamite, explosive beneath it. We put atomic bomb and we've exploded that religious devil. That everyone is called by God. And we are called into unique fields. Do you know that? Imagine. You see where they do this race. They do this sports. Motor racing. And because motor racing is popular. Because motor racing is nice. Because motor racing is beautiful. Meanwhile, you have a bicycle. And you said, because everybody loves motor racing, I am going to the track field. And as these bikers are riding, I'm also going to ride my bicycle. What do you think will happen to you? You know the way they ride. Sometimes they can get angry with each other and begin to kick you. As for you and your bicycle, when they even shove you without even a touch, you are on your way. A bicycle cannot perform. Imagine you buy this brand new Maserati. You buy this brand new Range Rover. And you said everybody's focus is on a field, an environment of the farm. and the farm, what we use, tractors, and you decide to carry your Maserati and carry your Range Rover down into the farm, the story will be different. We'll tow it back very soon. Because it's not meant for the environment. So it is possible to carry your calling, your giftings, and your talent and place it on a tall floor. And that gift, that talent will never germinate. So when we begin to talk about fulfillment of the call, we will discuss the issue of environment. Listen, there are some of the people like me sitting here, and I'm looking for musicians to do this work with me, and I'm not finding, and I'm crying to God. I prayed about you. Yesterday, I was talking to God about you. Seriously, I was talking to God. I talked to God, then God said something to me. Then I said a thing to Albert when he came to visit me, but he didn't know I've said something God told me. Then I went back, I've forgotten. I went back praying again. Immediately I opened my mouth and I mentioned his name. Then the same word came again. I said, okay, I repent. I keep quiet. Now, as I'm praying and looking for people, Albert is calling you. As I'm praying and looking for people to come and back, do you know some of them are in a wrong environment? Some of them, they are with Saul. Do you know Saul? He is a man, the Bible says, that a tormenting spirit from the Lord has come upon him. And he is jumping and prophesying. And I see and I hear. And David is there. He's strumming his guitar. And Saul is in serious gyration and prophesying deep, 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 deep. And everybody say, yeah, the man is, David is in the wrong environment. The next moment, Saul lifts, I call him his javelin tossing sword. He lifts a javelin and he said, let me pin him to the wall. And David dodged him like the other time. If you are with Saul, you must know how to dodge javelins. You must know how to walk. Bible says from that day, David behaved himself wisely. There are a lot of people who are locked in the wrong environment. Their gift, the potential can never be seen. Their calling will never be made manifest. There are prophets who are locked around wrong prophets. I know an environment is only me, who will be called a prophet. Every other person with prophetic gift, you cannot be called a prophet. Because why? If they start calling Albert prophet around me too, I lose my position. I lose my relevance. That gift will never be manifested. Will never be fulfilled. For the next 100 years, people will be in the wrong environment seeking to fulfill their call. Listen, you have to pray. Talent has to be removed from wrong hands. Somebody took the talent. What did he do? Wrong environment. He put it, a dagger hole, and put it waiting. The master said, Master, I kept it for you. That talent never multiplies. So when I get to talk about fulfilling the call, when I deal with environment, look. And somebody hears my voice, the person may want to say, no, Jesus, this one, I'm on flight. Bible says he took from the one who had one and gave to the other one who multiplied. There will be transfer of resources when men begin to identify if they are supposed to be in the camp of Saul or David. Come on. If I want to begin to talk about this thing, it's a different matter. Because the Bible clearly tells us there is a church that is called the Saul church and there's a church that is called the David's church. And day by day, they came to David. They came every day. They were coming to David until David's army became like the army of God in heaven. What a man, a human being building something in the earth that looks like the army of God in heaven. Friends, you need to understand your calling clearly and follow it. Last week we said, when you discover your call, why you should find a call, it frees you from things like money, chasing after money. It frees you from chasing after envy. Why is it that Albert is gifted? Why is it that Kofi is gifted more than me and Akosua is so powerful? Why me? When you find yourself, you and yourself, you are the best company. What you can do best, Akosua can never do. The way you will communicate a thing, Akosua cannot communicate that matter. It is only you who is fitted for that. And you are meant for something. Am I speaking to somebody? When we discover our call, and why we should discover our call is that it frees us from being enslaved to expectation of people. When I was ministering online, somebody told me that, I'll ask a question. Is it right that a pastor would determine when his junior pastor should make love to the wife? You don't understand. He has stepped his boundaries. Calling. It frees you from the expectation of people. It frees you from living another man's dream. Me, you can't convince me to live another man's dream. Let me talk to you. One pastor told me. He told me this. He said, listen. Those is were in a small room. The size of the room is like, it's like this square. That's where I used to preach. And some of the recordings, the old recordings you see online, it was from that very powerful Faith Foundations. I taught it there. And this man of God, powerful prophet in town, known by people with all the money bags around him, with cars and every whatever. He said, what are you there doing? That small place you are. Well, that small thing, what are you doing there? Come and join me. You are my Elisha. Come and join me. I will buy you a car. I'll buy you a house. I'll put you on TV. The whole world will hear of you. And I asked myself, how many of his pastors are on TV, radio, and cars, and the whole world hearing of them? I advise me. By so doing, I've been bought. I'll buy you a car. But you're Tommy. I don't know my purpose. There's another time, and I said, oh, come and join me. I'll do this, I'll do that. I know. God says that you'll be bought. If you do, you are bought. When you discover your call, it frees you. You are the most freest man who is in bondage to Christ. The only way you can be free is to discover your call and be bonded. Yeah. When you discover your call, it helps you. We said last week, and I quoted a scripture last week, even before that. I said, it is good for a young man to bear his burden in the days of his youth. That post-charismatic depression that is worrying people. Oh, one day, the move of God will happen. And me, Chale, and the person is not making any effort, no strategic effort. Yeah, I'm going to be a billionaire. You're going to just be a billionaire, you're sitting down. You now to begin to ask some serious questions and put some business plan in place. And so, because the billionaire opportunity is coming, and when it comes, somebody will ask, where is that business opportunity? How can I help you? How can I do? What can I do to assist you? When you discover your call, you apply your gifts correctly. Listen to this scripture. I think I quoted it last week, but it's so beautiful. New Living Translation. It helps you to use and apply your entrusted gifts, meaning you are a servant, to the gifts that you have been given. Entrusted gifts accurately and effectively. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. I think I stopped here last week. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. The way this man can preach me, I cannot preach like that. The way he will teach, I can't teach that. The way this guy, when he is teaching, he will stand here and do like this. And do like this and be teaching one by one. And then ask a question. Me, I don't have that energy. I don't like his style. If you put his style in me, I'm a dead man. If you put my style in him, he's a dead man. But he can do that well, still carrying the impact of a bullet and eternity flowing out. You see people in church, when I do PowerPoint and I'm ministering with PowerPoint, you will love it all. But you see some people, the thing is just that they're just presenting, the thing is just going through the motion, no life. God has given you peculiar gifts. Now, I ask you a question. What is your call? What is your unique gift? That unique gift is your leadership gift. If I were you, I would take note. What is my unique leadership gift? Because that is the thing that will allow me for influence. Because the Bible says a man's gift creates space. Let me quote it in local parlance for you to understand. It makes room. It forces space for you. There may not be access, but your gift now forces space for you and allows you to come into the place. So what is that unique gift that you have? What is that gift? Have you found it? I want you to ask yourself these questions. Because at the end of the day, it's not about how much money we make. It's not about success. But it is about how much we live according to his will and plan. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much as faith as God has given you. We can continue to apply. If God has given you the ability to be helped, do it unapologetically. Do it without looking left or right. If God has given you the gift of, like I was sharing the story about the man who had a number of garages and he was successful. And then he went telling his pastor that he wants to serve God well. How do you serve God well? You can serve God well in any space, any capacity with your unique gift and calling, so long as that is where you are called to fulfill the gift and calling. He closed down his garages and went pastoring a church. Because he had this technical mind, so he looks to scripture and things open. And his pastor told him, what you are doing is going to lead you into trouble. Your children will suffer, your family will suffer, and eventually your children will go wayward. And the man did not listen. Eventually, he left the church and joined another church. There was somebody in our ministry, and I said, sit down. Something happened. It's not good. And I said, when my wife is in trouble, when my wife comes, we'll sit down and talk. The person got angry and left church and started recruiting people out of the church. I'm like, who does this? This man left. Went to pastor a church for about 2 years. His wife was depressed. His children were wayward. Pastor. And he began to repent. And one night the Lord told him, go back to the garages. And he went to tell his pastor friend that I've heard my calling. I am called to fix cars for people. So he went back fixing cars. And one occasion he had a dream. And in this dream, the Lord was talking to him about using computers to diagnose cars and solve problems. He said, I don't know anything about computers. So he spoke to a friend who was good with computers. And the result was that they built a technology at the time that was the number one on the market. And I've forgotten the name. One particular car company in the U.S., said across the United States, wherever their garages are, they want their diagnostics next to all the cars that they are selling. What an opportunity. And now he went on to begin to become financially resourced, and then he now begin to pump millions to bless the church. This man is doing his calling well and fulfilling his place well and doing the things that must be done. Let me look at another point. I'll look about 3 points. Let me look at this point. Why you should discover your call? It will allow you to fulfill the call and be satisfied. This post-charismatic depression is solved by discovering your calling, fulfilling it, and you will be satisfied. Now, once you enter into the place of fulfilling the call and satisfaction, what you have stepped into is the arena of relevance and significant living. There are many people today who are not living significantly. You're not living significantly. They are not living powerfully. I'm not saying powerfully. You know, there are some politicians who are calling the shot, but they are not living powerfully. It's emptiness. Square pegs in round holes. They are in the wrong environment. And by virtue of the environment, it accords them a certain authorization. So they can say certain things and do certain things. But as a matter of fact, when it comes to relevant living, Joseph, who is a small boy down in town, is more powerful than that politician. So Pharaoh will tell Joseph that he said, I am on the throne, but you are my father. He tells the whole of Egypt, when whatever this man tells you, do it, follow it. He said, apart from this throne, if it's not for this throne, you are the greatest. It's only this throne, by this throne, that I'm greater than you. Discovering your leadership gifts and calling allows you to be a man of influence when you don't even have access to the presidency. Sitting there and commanding things, you are able to influence the course of generations think about Joseph inside Egypt and how he would influence the course of many, many, many generations. Please, nobody should sleep on me. Think about it. It's a serious deal. So you see, the devil would allow us to settle for mediocre and play church and begin to chase after, and I'm suffering in life. I am suffering in life. When Ras angels are looking at her and say, look at this man, look at this woman. Though he is suffering, he's able to lift up his hands and worship God and serve God out of his situation. And look at how he is pursuing and chasing his purpose. By our living of the life, they understand the mysteries of Christ. So the Bible says, even angels look into these mysteries to understand it. They don't. Friends, listen. The devil is happy to have you and I not following our calling. And we can be churchy and speak Chechenese. You know Chechenese? There's Chinese and Chechenese. The devil is happy to blind us so that we are just church and religion. And we would think, the devil is happy to blind somebody called a pastor. And this pastor would think he's fulfilling the call of God. But, Obua, many of the things that some pastors call we are doing the work of God has nothing else to do with the work of God. It has everything to do with, it has everything to do with what a friend called wishing. He says, when ambition and wish comes together, it's called wishing. One of my friends says it's called wishing. They are just working in wishing, ambition, personal ambition. Me, I want to have the next branch, next and nearest door. Did God command it? So I'm doing the work of God. Please, look, you need to ask serious questions about life, eh? You need to ask the tough and hard questions that will make you uncomfortable for you to make the necessary changes about your life that you need to make. If you don't do it now, tomorrow will be too late. I have a statement that I say to me. I said, the future arrived yesterday and I am already late. The future arrived yesterday and me, I'm already late. I have to sit up. I have to make adjustment. I have to discipline myself. I have to do something to me. Hey, the past 5 weeks has not been easy. From here. Why? Computer. I'm researching. I'm writing. I'm submitting. And it's like my head wants to explode. Something is happening to my body. I feel like I'm going to collapse the next moment. Something is happening to me. But what? I'm researching. I need that master's to go and frighten some politician. I said, where is your pedigree? As I'm even talking right now, Tio is searching to see if they'll get a scholarship for me to start a PhD. My school is saying I should start a PhD. $40,000. I said, if they'll give me a scholarship, I'll start. DBA, Doctor of Business Administration. I'll do. Tio is searching for scholarship for me. I'll go and do a PhD in finance. My other colleague in South Africa says she is already poised to start a PhD. I said, my friend, send me details. $500 every subject. Send me details. We'll find and attend. In my father's house, who did PhD? And on the 4th of April, 1996, I had a prophecy. He said, you will go to school and go very far. In your whole family, nobody went through. Nobody went. And so me, I shall. I must. I will fulfill. It's part of then another prophet in Comte 5, Star Park, we were praying. Then he said, Abrantie me won't say, they are the con, and then what bow and he was supposed to study and go very far, went to me, and he prayed for me. I am a free man. Now I must rise and go and fulfill purpose. You have to discover it. Listen. There was a time in my life they said I should go to Bible school. There was this man who paid 3 years. He paid. Not that he was yet to pay. He paid 3 years for me to go to Bible school. Me who is standing here and teaching the word of God. You've not even heard me teach the word of God yet. This is all the grace of God. When I look into Bible, what I see is not Bible school. I didn't go to Bible school. That is why I have teachings like how did Jesus train men? How did Paul train men? There were seminaries those days. who went to seminary those days. This thing is the grace of God. Now, I had a dream. In the midst of that, I had a dream. And the dream unveiled itself in three parts. There was school. There was school, like a school of ministry, Bible school. There was school. There was school. The third day was graduation. Then I went to the school one of the days. And when I went to the school, there was a man. I think I went the second day. There was a man. Thick, tall. His complexion carried a certain glory. Even his belt. You know how a military man who is well built, thick, tall, and wearing his belt on, and you see that part of the military trouser is all folded, you know? And this man saw me. When he saw me, he was angry. Very, very angry. What was the problem? Why did I come to the place? Why am I part of the students, the Bible school student? Why? That was this man's problem. He was not like 6 foot tall. Oh, this man was like here. If you see the man, some strange personality, but he fits among people. But I can see that this man is different. And people were schooling and making notes, but me kwa de menya problem. Why? And then somebody came, like my lecturer. One of my lecturers came, so he's sorry. He came yesterday, you were not here. And so he came today too. He said, no, he must not be here. Then the man said, please listen to me carefully. I'm sharing. Bible said the secret of, I said Bible. Never bad, no. I can't cry me. Today I can't cry me. See the Bible, say, according to the Bible. Never bad, no. Never bad, no. That's why Pastor Sammy said that he laughs at me. So me, today I say, according to the Bible. The man said, follow me. And this is what I saw. You see, naturally I'm going to walk. So I walk like from, like the man walk like from here to this line. But in my dream, it wasn't like that. The man moved. When he moved like this, he was here. When he moved, he was here. And I was there with him. And then he moved again. While he was moving, in the process of moving, I could see it. He handed an economics pamphlet to me and he said to me, go back to school. I remember now, this dream happened a year ago. 1 year after, somebody had paid 3 years school fees for me to go to Bible school. And the person is angry, I'll not go to school. Me too, something in me says, don't go to the school. Now, I didn't remember the dream. I've forgotten about that dream. Something in me says, the school, don't go. So me, I have to tell my pastor, I want to go to school. I want to go to school. I want to go and read IT or something. Because that time, that was, you know, IT was the thing. The thing, I mean, I'm not IT. It's finance. When I see, like somebody said, when I see Pito Boile, I am happy. And then when I see people talking finance, I am happy. I don't understand, but I'm sitting and they are talking numbers. I am happy. And this man says, go to school. So now the confusion ensued. They told my pastor. My pastor told me. Now the onus lies with me to accept. And I told my pastor, I will not. My pastor also thinks that I shouldn't go to the Bible school because the Bible school have a way of structuring a person's mind. It will make you think pastoral. It will make you think mission. It will make you, if you're not careful, it can frustrate you. You see, I tell you, I said, go to school. I said, don't go to Bible school. You remember I told you something like that? One of my friends, there used to be a man of God who does crusade in town. Some time ago, he had a stroke. He lives in Lebanon there. His church used to be around Africa Advance area. His associate now is an Assemblies of God guy. He's an Assemblies of God who is in Ho. He used to be at Assemblies of God district. He's my friend. He's called Seiram. He's thick, tall. We call him Presi from Temasco. Seiram was my senior. I was in Form 1 when I took over. Listen to my story carefully. I was in Form 1 when I took over SU presidency from Seiram. Form 1 student. It should be like the person going to Form 3. And the Seiram came to me and said,
His pastor says he wants him to go to Bible school and go into full time. I said, Seram, go and buy training teacher college form. Go and buy, go and buy. Fill it quickly and submit it and tell your pastor you have applied to school. And he went to teacher training, came out. They did not fulfill the call. He became me. I was even wondering, me who have been in Assemblies of God long before Seiram. Seiram became associate pastor after he went to Bible school, SGBI. He became associate pastor for whole district. I'm like, the tall guy, when I was ministering, he came to sit down and I was teasing him how we drank cocoa. And you remember, that's the guy. So the confusion ensued. Me too, a day. One afternoon, I closed from work. I go home. Immediately, my back touched the bed. I wanted to just rest. Then the dream opened. From beginning to the end, I understood everything. Go back to school. No Bible school. So in the dream, the third day, now this man who worked with me came back the third day and asked me to come back the third day. The third day was graduation. And you know, the third day is the day of perfection if you study scripture. And they were giving food, but me, they gave me more food. They served me like, while people were doing buffet, as for me, I was served with a lot of food. So my back touched the bed that afternoon. And then I went, whoa. The Bible school, day two, they stop you, they don't go. Day three was graduation, and you were also part of the graduation. So as I'm talking to you, I've graduated. I'm a graduated man as I'm walking and I'm teaching scripture. I give me opportunity, I'll write Bible training school materials for you. You'll be shocked. I wrote it for one man of God, one prophet who was telling me you buy me a car and a house. He looked and said, Big head, do you know you are supposed to be with me? Do you know you are my associate? Do you know you are my Elisha? I am Elijah and you are Elisha. Do you know that? Do you know? Look, come. I'll put you on TV. I'll put you on radio. Do you know that? I dodge him. Because I know where I'm going. If you don't know where you are going, you'll be very miserable and frustrated by what people tell you and do to you. He said, well, we are coming. And this one have done this to me. And that one. And when the angel come to stir the water, and do you want to be healed? When the angel come to stir, I am everything that is fulfilling to the angel stirring water. I am here. Do you want to be healed? See, people complaining. When you know your purpose, you will not complain. I work in a ministry where they frustrated us. They talk to you like you don't have brain, as if your brain has been removed and put outside the door. But we walk in confidence. I'm here this morning to challenge you. You can't live your life anyhow. This thing is full of life. It's full of impact. You become relevant and significant. And do you know that the school of ministry I taught, I was the first Ghanaian to teach a subject. No, so let me tell you, I teach major themes of the Old Testament, 1 and 2. It's no joke. Major themes of the Old Testament, 1. Section 1 alone. The title is Creation versus Evolution. All the Ghanaians ran away. They called me one after, said, you are supposed to teach, and this, the school is open. I went, I sat down. By the time I finished, it is so beautiful. I teach the school of the Holy Spirit. I teach principles of prophetic operation. I teach leadership. I teach global ministry. I teach community dynamics. I can't continue. I can't mention them. But it's the grace of God that is with me. When you find your calling, there is grace that is just made available. And you can't change it. Listen. Galatians chapter 4, the verses, Galatians chapter 6, the verses 4 and 5, or verse 4 through 5. Pay careful attention to your own work. Pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. 5. For we are each responsible for our own
conduct. You'll be free from envy and comparison. Why should you discard a call? I said I'm mentioning 3 points, so this is the second one. Why? Let me raise. You'll be strengthened and sustained. You'll be strengthened and sustained. You'll be strengthened and sustained. You will not go hungry. John chapter 4, the verse 34. My food, my meat, is to do the will of him who has sent me and to fulfill it. Jesus uses very powerful words in that verse. Sent. That word sent is the word apostolos, from which you have the word apostolic, apostle. An apostle is a sent man. An apostle carries the mission of another. Whose mission are you carrying? Your own mission, self-appointed, another man of God's mission, or God's mission for your life? This thing is a serious matter. Meaning, when I walk in my calling, I am sent by God. It's only the apostle who is sent. And every sending, or anyone that is sent, like an ambassador who is sent into a nation, he has something we call immunity, diplomatic immunity. He has resources. That little property that houses that embassy, it is that little property where you live, because you are working your calling and purpose. That foreign land you go to, that little environment is actually like heaven's base. There are Navy SEALs, like the American embassy. It is actually the soil of America in Ghana. If you make a mistake, you have offended America. That is how serious your ability to walk in your calling is. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Now, the calling will sustain you. Let me not dwell so much on the apostolic aspect. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. You are very powerful. In John chapter 1, the verse 6, it said there was a man who was sent from God, and his name is called John. There's a man who was sent from God. It's called Samuel, Albert, Benna, Mark, Theodore, Achu, Edwin. You are a man, weak, frail, saddled with all of life's problems, but sent from God. Place some value on yourself, friend. Place some serious value on yourself and the calling and the giftings of God placed in your life. Place some value. I am just an ordinary human being. Mi wana san, please stop saying that. Stop saying that. You are on a mission. That is why you are not dead. Do you know the angels that are guarding your little piece of plot, your little land, the little bed that you are, your little walk, that car you sit in? Do you know the angel that is walking by that car and making sure that your security is appropriate, because he will be charged and charged for not discharging his course well? Do you know how that angel is prompting you and saying, brother, my brother, you need to walk this course, fulfill it, you need to go, keep going, don't be discouraged, you will succeed. Do you know the voices crying out of heaven? And the Bible says we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and they are screaming out, keep moving. Because they will not be better off without you. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 39, 40, it says, God has something better for them, that without us, they will not step into the promise. Failure to fulfill your calling and walking in it, my meat is to do the will. If you don't do, you are frustrating Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Jeremiah. You are frustrating them, because the Bible says that God has something better for them. Let me read it. If you have your phone there or something, open New Living Translation. Switch eyes. I mean, quickly, move. Open New Living Translation. Let's read something. Let me show you something. Calling is not a joke. Oh. There are angels involved in this matter. Can you go back and live this life again? And live it well? That is why I teach. I have some teaching there in my book. I need to start releasing the book. So
I have a title, a Rethinking Fellowship. I have a title, the In the Footprints of Enoch. And in the footprints of Enoch, I've written something there. Dying well. People don't die well. People don't die well. You can die like this, but you died well. You can die. The shark will eat your flesh. You have died well. Hebrews 11, 39. Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. Listen to it. Where's the microphone? Please read it for me. New Living Translation, if you can.
Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith.
All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith.
Yet none of them received all that God had promised.
Did you hear that? Yet none of them received all that God had promised.
Verse 40. For God had something better in mind.
Because God has something better in his mind for them.
Read it again. Verse 40 says, for God had something better in mind for us.
For us, right?
Yes. So that they would not reach perfection without us.
Abraham is waiting for you and I, so he can step into perfection. David, Jeremiah, with all his powerful prophecies, is waiting for you and I to enter into purpose and fulfill. Then Jeremiah said, finally. Look, this matter is a serious matter. And you see people, and you see a pastor, you just dust his Bible and say, let me just go and tell them something and collect the money and go home. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Go and find some work to do. And let's deal with serious matters. That is why I say, listen, when you study Ephesians chapter 4, when it says that he gave gifts unto men for the equipping, that word equipping is very deep. One aspect explains that the gift as a pastor must be related, apart from general preaching and general service, must be related uniquely to me. My gifting, my calling, my purpose, that gift of a pastor must be related uniquely to my ability, my unique self, to build me in my uniqueness. You think it's just about preaching? We just be preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. And one day, post-charismatic depression. One day, peradventure, we'll find it. We don't do ministry like that. Some people keep telling me, I said, the things that you teach, it's like pastor, you are all pastors. Theodore, what do you think? What do you think about what you are hearing? No, this is serious matters. We can't live our life anyhow. And people's destiny, then we take it. Then we come and then we take some small money from them. And then we go, it's actually the way God moved. That's why we're not seeing the glory of God in our churches. That's why we're not seeing the move of God. This morning I finished praying. Whilst I was meditating, I just picked my phone. There's a book I've been reading. If you know me, I'm reading almost like, there's an envelope there. I have about 4 books in that envelope. So the physical books, I have 4 here. And on my phone, I'm reading different books. So I flip one of the books to read. And the man began to share a testimony. And this is one of my favorite human beings who ever lived. I desire to meet him. I never met him. Dr. James Maloney. Oh, The Dancing Hand of God, Volume 2. He said he was invited to minister in somewhere, about hundreds of people. And it was a dinner. So people are finished eating, and people are belching, those who are dozing off, and then the person was talking, and he himself, he became frustrated and angry, looking at the faces of the people. What will he preach? What healing can he minister here? So they invited, he came, he started reading his note, and then he closed his Bible and went to sit down. Because he's frustrated. The people are not ready, their mind is dull. They've ate late dinner. The adrenal ada. Then a woman and the daughter started walking to the front. And they came to stand. They never invited anybody to pray for healing. So they came to stand so that they'll be prayed for. And he got up and went to them. Immediately, he got up and stretched his hand and wanted to touch the girl's forehead. Then he heard a rumbling voice. Don't touch her. What's about her? That is a devil. Don't touch her. Then in this time, he did like this. He wants to touch the forehead of the girl. And the voice came again, don't touch her. So he turned like this to see who is this person shouting, don't touch her. I bind you to this devil. When he turned, the world began to shimmer and the realm opened. And he saw some ball of lightning rolling and coming as if it was dancing and bouncing and skating, and the ball was coming. And then Jesus appeared and said, and stood by him and said, I will minister to her. Now these are people who are, people were looking at their time. They want to go home. This preacher is too long. The food we have ate already. And Jesus says, I will minister to her myself. And he said, Jesus said the thing with some swag and some in a jovial, likable, like a buddy-buddy kind of relationship. And Jesus stepped forward and put his hand on the girl's forehead and moved back and said, now you can finish the rest. And when he placed his hand on the girl, my God, the girl actually had a braces at the back because the spine is like this. So they have to put the braces to hold her. The thing broke and the girl became free instantaneously. And Jesus came to hug him on the side. Oh my goodness. And the man began, and I'm like, look at a meeting where people are belching and still the glory of God is being manifested. There's a reason why we're not seeing the glory of God among us, because again, we have taken divine things, heavenly things, and we have put it on the ground and we have mashed it and we have churched it. And so we can take, Bible says, you see the Pharisees, they will take a holy man and they will make him worse than they themselves. They'll take a sinner, they make the sinner worse than themselves. I'm speaking something to you. I hope I'm not speaking above some level. This is the way I talk, or this is the way I preach. I hope you like me for this. Listen, the call will sustain you. The call, that gift, it will sustain you. That gift, it will satisfy you. That gift, it will strengthen you. What do we use food for? Edwin, why do you eat? Tell me, one, why do you eat? Just one. To what? To be satisfied. Why do you eat? Somebody give me. Why do you eat? Bernard, why do you eat? To be healthy. So that you'll be healthy. Why do you eat? To be strong. And when you eat, what do you describe? You are sustaining yourself. If you fail to fulfill the call, you will be a sick man, a sick woman. Simple things. Jesus says, he used natural language. My food is to... In Psalm 89, I will not go reading it. God says, I found David my servant. I think from verse 20. With my holy oil I have anointed him. Therefore, the son of wickedness, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed. Therefore, the son of wickedness shall not afflict him. It says that my hands will be established with him. My right hand will sustain him. If you are found in the call, he will sustain you. I'm telling you, he will sustain you. Today, let me end on this. Samuel, I wish you would play this. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. You know it. Lord, I offer my days to you. Na, 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 na. Just play something. Abefa. Use me for your glory, Lord. Actually, you don't know it. Oh. I had a very powerful dream this morning. Something is happening to me. I had a very powerful dream. I was ministering and it was at the front, was there. I'm thinking, don't you think we can change this auditorium arrangement and put pulpit this way? Or put pulpit this way? Don't you think? Yeah. So what do you think? I woke up and that is the thing that hit me. And one lady was running. I held her and I said, listen, you, your husband, God is going to bless her. But you are not together. God is going to give you a child. And the two of you will be together. The marriage will be healed. And I look at one guy. I said, it looks like you are from Sister. No, you are from Ka. Oh, Jesus. It was beautiful. And I was entering from downstairs. I was coming from downstairs. And I started preaching, teaching from downstairs. And I was quoting long Bible chapters whilst teaching it. Just quoting it and teaching and walking in. Then I saw some powerful prophet sitting somewhere here. I saw another powerful man of God sitting somewhere here. And they were all facing like that and listening. I don't know, what do you think? We can change the place now. We can now carry this banner and say we position it this way. What do you think? Think about it. It can be for 1 year. Think about it. We can change it. And when you do that, you have more chairs fit this place than with the arrangement. Yeah. I like you. And that's the way the prophetic disease starts. Kabasugidigibaha. Next week, I don't know. I can't be promising I'll finish. Because if I keep telling you I'll finish, the reason, there's a problem. But I have two more reasons apart from what I'm going to say. This is my last, the reason why you should discover your call, your unique call, and fulfill it. You'll be protected. Apart from you being sustained. No, the call will sustain you, eh? You don't have, but the call will provide. The call will just provide. This week I was there, somebody just sent me some money and said, use it for the ministry. I said, this angel know how to communicate about this call, eh? I will not ask, but you provide. Telling you, far away. He said, this is my 2 weeks tithe. I said, wow. I said, angel, let more come now. Hey, you are mooching too much. By the time the other one comes, we would have spent so much on the church. But the angel knows how to take care of the very things that ought to be taken care of. I'm not afraid. The call will sustain you. It will provide for you. And I was online, and then one of my friends wrote to me on Facebook, and then wrote to me also on WhatsApp chat. He said, I'm seeing God blessing you. I'm seeing men blessing you with finances. And they give you money, and they don't know why they are giving you the money. They just bless you. And I said, amen, amen, with double exclamation, amen. Yeah. The call will sustain, oh. The call will protect, oh. Listen, you must walk in your calling because that is the only way you can be protected. If you go outside that, you are in danger. Ecclesiastes. Whosoever breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite. I have to close. If you break a hedge, a serpent will bite you. Serpent is what? Satan. Evil will be falling. That is why you can see somebody who go to medical school after all the learning, he's frustrated and have not found solution, he hangs himself to kill himself because it's not fulfilled. Say, this thing I'm doing, I pray, let the Lord give you fulfillment. Amen. I pray that let the Lord open doors and show you the things you must walk in. I pray if there is any way you have missed it, the Lord will bring you back. Amen. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. The Lord restore. Kabashataya. Listen to this. You'll be protected and covered by your call. The call itself will protect and cover you and fight for you. That is one of your foremost spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not saying, no. What we have gotten, there's so many things have happened. Your spiritual warfare is discovering your calling and working it. You can find some men, they don't even worship Christ like we do, but they've discovered their call, they are working in it, they are very impactful and serious. Sometimes they are even misbehaving. You and I, go and do the thing they did and see what happens to you. You realize that there's wahala for you. Everybody is doing it, all, but you alone, you did bad trouble. The whole world will hear of you. Because the thing is not in your line of calling. This is spiritual warfare. You want to train people to do spiritual warfare? It's not about demons in the cloud. They don't know their purpose. They are fighting demons in the cloud. They don't know who they are. They are fighting who. Once you sort identity out in the realm of this, the devil look and say, no, 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 this man, that woman, no, no, no. Lamentations chapter 3, the verses 35 through 36. Let me read. Abed, open on your phone. Lamentations. And still read New Living Translation for me.
Listen.
It said, if they deprive what? Others of what?
Their rights. In defense of the Most High.
Please go ahead.
If they twist justice in the court. Doesn't the Lord see all these things?
Alright, let me read from New King James. This is what it says. To turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or to turn, listen to the context carefully, to turn aside the justice due a man. That word justice in the Hebrew is the word mishpat. I don't have time to go into it, but this is it. Mishpat involves everything law and everything deciding a judgment. And mishpat is also the standard by which judgment is passed. So if they deny one person of the standard, by this we say the calling and the gifting, or listen to what it says, or subvert a man from his course, the Lord does not approve. For me to be walking in my path and the devil says, I'm carrying you out of the path, God has not approved at all. This thing, God fight. God just gets into a fight when you have not even asked for. God just goes ballistic. He goes nuclear on the devil by a man walking in purpose. Don't joke with your purpose. Don't joke with your calling. God goes ballistic. Angels get involved. Listen, Judges chapter 5, the verse 20. Even as I'm finishing, the scriptures are there. Judges 5:20. Let's go to Judges 5:20. Let me show you just a thing, and then I close. Please just rise up. Kabadabashata yakapa. Kobata. I hope this is blessing you. Pastor, I mean this one. If we don't teach our people like Bible school students, some pastor will just one day come and tell them that Jesus Christ of Garibaldi is around, and you see the people, they are gone. Said, Jesus Christ of Garibaldi. He said, well, I met Jesus yesterday, so what are you talking about? Pray in the spirit for one moment. Liga bahato baragade. Mezekete rekapaha zakataya. Mondorobo siketeke paharakoto. Pray, tell the Lord, open me up to discover calling. Open me up to discover my calling. Pray, talk to the Lord. Rababa, we didn't come into this life to joke. We didn't come into this life to fool, to make mistakes, to try and see if we are fulfilling a purpose. We will not miss it. Tell the Lord, I'm not missing it. Rababo, sebebebe, kapahaya, rababa, sobodobo, morokobo, abarakata, papa, men, tenedebeko, sebededebako, apatoligito, basiatata, regete, geboho, sebendarakata, man, dededebo, sulididi. Lord, to thee, take.
endless grace. My love, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days.
Let me read the scripture and we pray. Judges 5:20. And if you know what has happened in Judges 5, Deborah began to call. He began to gather.
Judges 5:20.
Yeah.
The stars forth from heaven.
The stars forth from heaven.
The stars forth in their orbit.
The stars forth in their orbit.
Against Sisera.
Against Sisera. Continue.
Verses 21. The Kishon River swept them away.
Do you see something? Now let me give you a picture. This is the chapter, Deborah. When you go up a bit in the verse 7, that's it. Until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was found among 40,000. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who offer themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Speak, you who write, blah blah blah. Then Deborah, when you read on, Deborah began to call and gather men to come so that we go for fight. When Deborah gathered and called the men, Deborah never called the stars in heaven. How would Deborah call the stars? What does he know? But as men began to gather, if you look at the scenario, Deborah recited, and men began to gather, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Verse 15, I'm reading. As Issachar, so was Barak sent into the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. They began to gather. The tribes began to gather, and the stars also look on and say, "No way, we must also go some. We will join in this matter." Who invited them? I am telling you of something that accomplishes warfare. That is why sometimes you can see a certain unbeliever. He lives very long. You don't understand. He lives very long. You don't understand. But you see that young guy who is calling himself apostle and is walking like this with servants all around him. 3 days' time, he's dead. And they buried him. Our forefathers have preached this gospel and they are living. You see an old Presby pastor, Cat, is still walking, and he will walk humbly. And then today, our very anointed prophets, disrespectful. I saw one prophet online and they said, Kofi Kofi talked to spirits through burning gas. What kind of madness is that? Necromancy as its highest point, masquerading like Jesus Christ, talking like Jesus Christ, behaving like Jesus Christ in the name of deliverance. He said, me, if I want to destroy you, I can destroy you. You are a man of God. Fetish priest in suits. Fetish priest in suits. Listen, when you walk in your calling, when you walk in your calling, you see, when I hold the microphone and I'm talking, sometimes it's like a hand that drops at my back and I begin to flow. Sometimes I'm talking and it's like scriptures wrap themselves on my face. Scriptures slap me. And sometimes they come in succession. So if I'm in an element, I can just go quoting scriptures. Quote, 20 on the line, 50 on the line. Because I am in my rightful place. And if I'm ministering in the prophetic and I have allowed myself to minister in the... Do you know when last Sunday I was talking to you here? Did you hear what I said? I prayed a very simple prayer. Because immediately I closed my eyes, I just saw the Lord gone before you. And I said, Lord, go before. And I said, it is done. And I said, you can go. He's been looking for a visa, transit visa, to go to Vanuatu, right? So you go through China, and then catch a flight to Vanuatu. He applied somewhere. They denied. Australia denied because their country is beautiful than everybody, they think. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. When you are in your elements, those days when I'm leading worship, you are possessed in the meeting, you manifest. Because I will lead the worship and hit. When I'm leading, nobody taught me. I will be leading and I'm seeing signposts in the spirit. So once I hit the signposts, I will dwell on the signposts. You know, the occultists call something mantra. A mantra is like a curse, placing a curse on yourself. So I heard Michael Jackson said that anytime you repeat a song and you sing a song, a lot of you will be singing those worldly songs and you don't know where they are coming from. There's this song. They say, Bible says, you do not even carry their names on your lips, so I don't even know. I carry what I see in the spirit in a song, then I throw it on the people in my worship. That's what I do. I'm leading, I'm paying attention. Sometimes I will hear the song. It's not part of the songs I plan. And I will carry the song and throw it. Because you are in your rightful place. And the angel who is functioning must not function. He's not free and happy to do. Deborah gathered men. And when the angels saw that these people are in the right course, the Bible says the stars fought from their courses. They joined in the fight and they stood in their orbit and they began to fight. Deborah did not win. Israel did not win that battle by the power of swords. So the power by angels come in. Now look at what the Bible says. It says that the brook Kishon, the Kishon River did what? He said he did something.
It swept them away.
Who invited the river to be part? River. Those soldiers fighting from Caesarea's region, were they not people who have crossed that river to come and fight? How come the same river they crossed, the river carried them? There are elements. Jeremiah 22, the verse 29. Oh, earth, hear the word of the Lord. The earth can hear and join in fight. And say, this man will kill him. And heaven says, he's in purpose. The earth says, no way. And the earth begins to divide. Things begin to happen. Please step into your calling. That's your best protection you can have. Outside your calling, there are wolves and dangers and demonic princes that will tear you down. Don't try to be like another man, because Goliath will take you down. Go with your little sling and five smooth stones, but one shall descend on him and you will win this battle. I came this morning to challenge you. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. That ancient torrent. What is ancient about this torrent? That ancient torrent. Is there a torrent that is ancient? What does your translation say?
Yes, that ancient torrent.
Is there a torrent? How can you say that the sea waves that is coming, the one that just came, is an ancient wave? what kind of wave is that? Something invisible joined the visible and began to fight visible men. Laban chasing after Jacob. It was time for Jacob to move. In the night, God came to say, be careful how you speak to him. Don't speak to him harsh. Don't speak to him, because he is my servant. Your calling is the best protection you can walk in. Just talk to God. I'm not going to minister. Just talk to God. He's been good. Talk to the Lord. God bless you. Talk to the Lord. I'll end here. Just talk to the Lord.